The most profound spiritual teachers of all time say the same thing in different ways. Quiet the mind and listen within. Over the last 10 years of my life, I've been asking the same question. Can it really be that simple? This blogcast is about my journey to the answer. I am Kayla Corsiglia, and you are listening to Intuition Academy. Hello, my beautiful friends, and thank you once again for tuning into Intuition Academy. So, a couple of notes before I begin today's episode. One, there is construction going on right outside, like basically right outside my window, and lots of hammering. So, if that ends up getting picked up in the audio, I apologize. I just did not want that to deter me from recording today's episode. Because it feels so good. And also, I'm going to have a little bit of a longer introduction today. But before we get into the introduction, I want to talk a little bit about what today's episode will be about after the introduction. So bear with me. Today's story is going to be an experience of contrast that developed into resistance and then became a shit show, more or less. And I thought that this would be a really interesting story to tell because, you know, it's super fun to share flow stories like Jess Lively style and to do the messaging a friend episodes about, you know, like these insights and the stories of flow and all of that. But this was a moment where I was not in flow and I went totally against what I really wanted. And first of all, I learned a really huge lesson from it, and so I'm grateful for it. But I also thought that it would be really valuable to share. I feel like these aren't stories that we typically hear, like what happens when you're out of alignment and you take action on things that you do not want. So stick around through the extended introduction today, and I will get into the story. Okay, so to start today's episode, I want to start it a little bit differently than I ever have before. I want to introduce myself once again and say, hi, I'm Kayla Corsiglia. I call myself a mentor or a guide, but I'm frequently referred to as a life coach by my clients. This podcast is where I store a lot of my thoughts, realizations, and personal teachings on law of attraction, manifestation, and spirituality, as well as where I share my own stories of practicing the work in my everyday life, i.e. the flow stories or the messaging a friend episodes. I love simplifying the work of the law of attraction and manifestation and talking about it in ways that you may have never heard before, all with the intention of expanding your mind and showing you how to practice more effectively. Because typically the things that I'm sharing are my expanded understanding of the work itself. So my desire for this podcast is to give each of you a taste of what it's like to work with me, what it's like to be in a space with me, and to give as much of that value as I can for free. That's what this podcast is meant to be. It is a free platform where you can access me and my thoughts and my work and all of it. My main business is a mentoring practice where I host 6 month to year long, typically one-on-one containers, typically followed by indefinite monthly check-in calls at my clients' requests. I have nearly all of my clients after their 6 month or year long packages come back after a little bit of a break and stick on for monthly check-in calls where we just sort of like, we'll go over the spectrum of all the things they're trying to work on, create, and sort of do touch-ups. You know what I mean? It's like going and getting your oil changed. The clients I call in are people who desire more than a book, a podcast episode, or to do work all by themselves. They are desiring a helping hand. They desire me as a mentor or guide because I am a long-term practitioner of transformational work, and I have a story and life that reflects that. They desire me as a mentor or a guide because they believe that I can walk with them to tangible results, to their own tangible results, and I have a near 100% success rate with my clients as assurance. In the first year of my mentoring practice, I led just around 10 women, I believe, to varying results. Usually the way the containers start is clients come in, they state a desire that they have, something they're really, really wanting. And the process that we then walk through is not only guiding them to that one desire, which, like I said, is a near 100% success rate. I don't say that lightly. I really, truly mean that. Nearly a 100% success rate, walking them to the thing they desire, but also giving them the tools to be able to replicate that in all areas of their lives. So, a few different examples of things that these people accomplished were leaving their jobs, they moved states, they moved abroad, they attracted love, they allowed in better health, they started allowing more money in, and more than anything, they all learned how to choose what they want with certainty. That is my number one priority with people, is to just consistently guide them back to what they really, really want. And the rest of the work falls into place after that. The people who desire to work with me love that I am human, raw. I choose to wear no masks with my clients. There is a realness to me, they say, and that I guide with openness and wisdom that is rooted in real life experience. And I have had what I would consider an annoying and exhausting amount of real life experience at the young age of 30. I take my work very seriously. I always have. A lot of it feels more like counseling than that of a life coach, where anything and everything is welcome to be shared with no judgment. But also, I am not a certified counselor. I do, however, have a counseling degree. It's just at the undergraduate level, and I never pursued my master's. But because my initial training, basically, before I found the world of life coaching and spirituality and manifesting and all these things, it was counseling. A lot of times, people in the counseling world, or like doctors, for instance, these people take vows because they're not just entering, like these people aren't just entering into their space and they're just like handing something over to them. Sometimes they do, but like those aren't very ethical people. We won't talk about them. But like the ethical ones, they typically have vows that they're stating as they're accepting their jobs, like a vow of confidence, a vow of always putting the client's needs above their own within these instances, like keeping their own stuff at home when they enter the room. You know, like counselors and psychologists and doctors and all these people have these vows. And so I felt inspired recently because I was sitting and I was thinking to myself, like, why do I desire to be a mentor? It was like a year check-in of being in Bali, and the work that I've done has developed so much since I've gotten here compared to before I got here. And so I was asking myself, like checking in with myself, like, why do I desire to be a mentor? What's in it for me, you know? And as I was sinking into my why, I came to that sort of feeling of a vow, like being formed within me, this feeling of like sacred sort of ritualistic duty, if that makes sense. That's the way that the work has always felt to me. And so as I was sinking in and feeling all of that, I allowed myself to write out my own vow to the work and to the people who choose to work with me. And so if you're with me this for this long, thank you. And here is my vow. I vow to be trustworthy, to hold confidence, and to hold unwavering faith in all that you desire to achieve. I vow to each of you who come into my world to uphold the trust that you place in me to get you from where you are to where you desire to be. I vow to hold space for all emotions and thoughts and to be a safe, stable, and reliable person in each of your lives. I vow to stand with you unshakably and to guide you gently and kindly showing you with sureness that what you want is attainable and achievable. Not only do I vow to show you that it's attainable and achievable, but I vow to guide you to results that are replicable. I vow to enter into our space grounded and steady, feeling appreciation in my heart for the belief you have placed in me and in yourself. I vow to show you your potential and to continue holding you in that space until your legs grow strong and steady and you can stand on your own in that knowing and belief. And I vow to release you back out into the world with tools that never grow old and will forever be useful. So, if you're with me still, thank you so much for being here. This work really does mean everything to me. It's not just about a quick buck. It's not just about having purpose. It feels like duty. And I take so much pride in what I do. So, on that note, let's get into today's story. All right. So, a little background. The work that I find myself doing, more than any other work, and before I take any sort of action, is getting myself into alignment. We've all heard this so many times, like, get into alignment then. But most people are like, okay, but like, how do you get into alignment? The process for me of getting myself into alignment every day, which for everyone, it's going to be a little bit different, but this is my technique. The process of getting myself into alignment always begins the same every single day, but then branches off in different directions after accomplishing this first step. And that first step is thought. Every day as my day begins, I make it my number one priority to get into a good feeling place, which just means to think good thoughts, basically. And not only to think them, but to feel them. The feeling part is what matters the most. Like, I can think a good thought all I want, but if I don't feel resonance with it, it's not doing anything. So I conjure up the feelings, the good feelings that I want to experience before I even get out of bed. Once this became a really consistent practice for me, I then started letting it become more specific. Like, what do I desire to feel today? What do I desire to accomplish today? I would find what I wanted for the day, and I would dig in, and I would always try and find, what am I hoping it'll feel like when I accomplish it? And then I wouldn't wait. I would find the feeling, and then I wouldn't wait for the thing to happen in order for me to feel that way. I would give that feeling to myself as my day was beginning. I would find a way to reach and conjure up that feeling, whether it was reaching for memories, whether it was doing rampages of appreciation like Abraham talks about, whether it was reaching for a little bit better feeling thought and then a little bit better until I got all the way up to that feeling. Sometimes I would have to start really general because I can't fake a certain feeling on a topic that doesn't feel, let's say, successful. Like, I don't want to fake feeling successful. I have to actually feel it. And so if I can't find any feelings right now that feel like success in the present life that I'm experiencing, let's reach for a memory where I felt successful. Let's reach for a visualization, a fake scenario, but that in it that helps me embody the feeling, and the feeling feels real, even though the visual is not happening. Like, be in the moment of the visualization, feeling the feeling, and then, you know what I mean? So I would give that feeling to myself as my day was beginning in whatever technique worked, showing myself that I could have it, whether that manifestation came or not, whether my day unfolded the way I wanted it to or not, I could have that feeling. Then, after being in that specific feeling place, I would let myself venture out and do what I felt compelled or drawn to do, which then compounded on that feeling that I had conjured up, sometimes resulting in the accomplishing of that goal. Sometimes just having inspiration that I knew would lead me to that goal, or sometimes I would just have a really good day. Most of the time I would just have a really good day, or I'd have little spouts of inspiration throughout the day that I knew was getting me closer to the goal, if that makes sense. And so throughout those days, moments would arise inevitably that didn't feel good, because we live in the real world. I don't pretend like bad feelings don't exist. And we want contrast to present itself anyway, because that helps us get better into alignment with the thing that we want. It helps us like shift and realize new things about ourselves. So I would take those moments, the bad feeling moments, as a sign to literally stop. Like I would just like imagine like a stop sign in front of me, like literally don't move and go inward to realign with what you want and how you want that to feel. And maybe even looking at this thought or this contrast, whatever it was, like a situation that's unfolding around me that I don't like, or a situation that's happening within me that I don't like. Reassess from that moment, like, what is this thing? Why don't I like it? What would I prefer? Realign myself, find the feeling, and then give myself the feeling. Unless the contrast or the whatever was so intense that I couldn't change the thought, I would just shift back into just like not thinking about it at all, knowing that the time would come when it would be easy to deal with. Okay, so now that you know all of that, in today's story, I want to talk about what happened when I found myself in a moment of contrast and mistakenly took action on it, and then the shit show that resulted afterwards. The consequences of making decisions out of alignment with what we desire and how we want to feel. That's like the long form of what today's episode should be called. So I found myself in a very typical day recently. I started my day great. I was feeling inspired, accomplished a lot. And then as the evening came in, I found a random thought pop into my head that had come up multiple times before and that I'd worked through pretty easily to recalibrate to the real desire. The thought went something like, we are running out of time to make a decision about travel plans. We need to do something before that happens. Like it felt like the clock was running out and suddenly it was like, you have to do something. Otherwise, we're just like, nothing's gonna happen. And my mind presented me with a couple different options, a couple different things to do, but both of those options felt so terrible to me. They were like, no, like those are not, that's not the answer. That just feels too horrible to be the answer. Now, my real desire was to make this decision about these travel plans in a place of feeling ease, satisfaction, and joy about what was to come next. Not from a place of feeling rushed and defeated or forced to make an unpleasant decision, which is a cycle that I am attempting to break. And I talked briefly about that in a past episode when I was talking about desiring getting from point A to point B with ease and not the mentality of like, it needs to be hard, like do the hard part. And then after the hard part is over, it'll be fine. Like that is not what I want. So this thought process as it was unfolding immediately sent me into a sinking feeling, like the sinking feeling just like rolled through my body, which is a signal to me that what I am thinking and what I am being called to do is out of alignment with what I really want and what I want to believe. It's like sometimes I see it as I'm in a body of water, and when I have that sinking feeling while thinking something, I know that being aware of that thought and choosing to believe that thought means that I'm literally swimming down, like I'm swimming down below the surface, whereas the thing I want is above the surface. It might even be on land, right? But right now I am literally forcing myself underwater and I can't breathe. So like I said before, this is a cycle, and this is like a really, really old cycle for me. And this thought had occurred to me more than once previous to this moment because of that cycle. But you know, changing our thoughts doesn't happen overnight. It's a process of literally reshaping our brain matter. We are breaking down old neurological pathways and creating brand new ones. So in moments like this, it was like everything in my body is telling me to do this thing because that's its habit of action in moments like this. But in an attempt to choose something different, I typically will act against it, or I'll try and shift my thoughts in a totally new direction, the direction I want them to be going in a moment like this. So I sink in during those moments. Typically, I ask myself, what am I hoping to feel when I do this thing? Like, why does it feel like I need to do this right now? When I do this unpleasant thing, what's the result? What's the hoped result? And what I found was, and what I always find is I'll feel relief. I feel like I don't have to keep trying to figure this out. It'll just be done. The pressure will be off. But taking action in order to feel a certain way will never work. It always creates more of what you're already feeling or what your pattern of belief is. So in that moment, I wasn't believing in what I really desired. I believed it had to be hard. And so this horrible solution was the only way in that perspective, in that frame of mindset. I had overcome this thought multiple times. Like I said, it had come up a bunch of times. I'd worked through it. I knew I was going to have to continue working through it until that frame of mind had officially altered in my mind. Like they say, a habit takes anywhere from 21 to 63 days, I think. So like roughly 1 month to 3 months to really change a thought or a habit. I had overcome this thought multiple times, giving myself that feeling of relief instead of believing that I was doing everything right and choosing a better feeling thought on that topic. And I would truly feel relieved. I would get myself to a feeling of relief and the old story would crumble. But this day, instead of choosing a better feeling thought, I felt inspired in that moment to call a different people. And this was before I had changed my thoughts, before I had started feeling better. And so I decided to call a couple of people and ask for their advice. Two people I trust deeply, by the way, but I was still taking action on something that I didn't want, you know? And then also I was seeking something outside of myself, which in a moment like that, I feel like there are very precise people that you can call, and then everyone else is just going to shoot you in the foot by accident. So the first call actually went swimmingly. It really helped. It realigned me with what I wanted, but I didn't let that be enough. I reached out to someone else, and on this call, the advice I was given was in complete contrast to what I want. And they phrased it all in a way to make it seem like they were giving me advice that they thought I would give someone else in the same perspective or in the same situation I was in. And firstly, I truly deeply love and respect this person so much, but it was not the advice I would have given someone else. It really wasn't. I would never, ever try to convince someone that they should do something that was not in alignment with what they really wanted. That is actually in complete opposition to what my work represents, to what I do. But because I was already in this state of not believing in my desire, the words felt true. Like I was letting these words make my desire seem impossible to achieve. I thought this person was right, even though it was in complete contrast to what I wanted. So the sinking feeling continued. Maybe they're right. I should just suck it up and do it. I should just be grateful that this is even an option. Even though it sucks, at least it'll just be over after I do this. Like, if you've listened to my previous episode, do you recognize that, like, thought process? Because that's the old thought process. That's the one that I'm trying to not have anymore. But in this moment, I was just so caught up in the energy of it, the momentum of the energy of it. I got swept up, which is okay. And I let it spiral me for the rest of the day. You know, I felt horrible. I felt upset, depressed. I felt defeated. I felt upset with myself. I felt like a failure. And honestly, I just let myself be there because it felt like I'd been swept up in that current of energy that was too difficult to work myself out of. You know, it was just, I don't know, sometimes when the energy is really strong and it's hard to feel better or think in a better feeling direction, the best thing we can do is just give up until the next morning. Abraham always refers to this when they say, hold on, it'll be over soon, when referencing someone who's just has really strong resistance. They'll talk about, like, imagine that you just jumped out of a plane and you don't have a parachute. Like, hold on, it'll be over soon. Meaning, like, you'll hit the ground, it'll be over, you can try again later. Like, in this scenario, you're, like, in a video game and you fall, but then you just start the whole, you know, you start the level over again. That's the way I think of it. So it's, like, hold over, and the level over is, like, go to sleep, wake up, try again tomorrow. So I succumbed to it, but I let myself be aware of my thought process, which I thought was really fun. I don't feel like I've ever been able to get myself to a place like this before. I didn't just, like, actually sink into this absolute doom and gloom place. I was, like, very aware of what I'd prefer to be feeling and thinking in that moment. Like, but when I conjured up those thoughts, I wasn't having the same emotional response that I had become so accustomed to having from that good feeling place. A day before, I could look out at the rice paddies from my kitchen window and feel this wave of joy go through me, leaving literal chills behind on my skin. And today I was looking out at that same, like out that same window and feeling nothing, maybe feeling annoyance at the loud scooters, just sort of like imagine stink lines coming off of me because that's the mood that I was in. I found it so fascinating. I would reach for a thought of appreciating the beauty and I was like, huh, I literally can't reach it right now. Like it's not there. I would look out at my work table and see everything all sprawled out and feel the collective energy of my two books, my podcast, my client work, and the thoughts that were naturally coming in were that of failure, failure, failure. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Like, why are you even doing this? Like, this work isn't even, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, just fucking give up. And I was just like, I wasn't really feeling like, I wasn't feeling as if I was being berated by somebody, right? It felt like, it reminds me of the work of Eckhart Tolle, where Eckhart Tolle says, be the awareness. And it was like I was sinking back and like watching what was happening to my mind. Like on a typical day, I feel like overwhelming pride when looking at my workstation and thinking about all the things I've accomplished in this last year and like how much more organized and simplified and you know, expansive it feels in comparison to a year ago and especially a year before that. Like today, like I have access to those feelings again, but at the time when I was looking at my workstation, I was just noticing like failure, failure, failure. You should just give up, just fucking give up. And the energy like of the work really hit home to me on this day in a way that it never had before. I literally didn't have access to those beliefs in this particular moment because I was feeling so bad. I didn't have access to believing them. Even though I had memories from literally 12 hours before that of me feeling great about the rice paddies, about my work. But because I was so aware of this thought that I had to choose the thing I did not want, I no longer had access to my joy, my passion, my life's work, and my belief in it. Frankly, it was, like I said, deeply fascinating, the experience, and I'm grateful for it because it made me realize how good my energy actually has been recently, how aligned I have been with what I desire, how I'm walking the walk, you know what I mean? So I was seeing the consequences. I was the seer. I was the awareness, as Eckhart Tolle says. I was just so blaringly aware that this is what happens when you choose what you do not want. When you think that you have to choose what you do not want, when you move in complete opposition to what you really want, when you choose the thing that you do not want, you no longer have access to the things you had access to in that state of belief. They just can't coexist. Like you can't not believe what you desire and then like believe in the accomplishment or the ability to accomplish what you desire while also focusing in opposition to it. Like you don't have access to the inspiration that came to you while you were believing. I was saying this to one of my clients the other day. We were talking and she was just like, I just don't understand. Like she wasn't feeling very good in her body. She wasn't feeling very good in her thoughts. And she was like, I had all this inspiration, all these thoughts had come to me and I'm not doing any of it. Like it's all just sitting there and I feel like so bad for not doing it. And I'm like, babe, listen, like you don't have access to those things because you're not in the same emotional state. You're not feeling the same way. You're not vibrating at the same frequency. Those things live at that joyful frequency that you were experiencing when you had the inspiration. Like taking action on that thing lives in that same place. And right now you're just not there and that's okay. Like you just got to get there and then it's going to be really easy to do it again. So I gave myself the rest of the day, like I said. I mostly distracted myself by reading a book. It was already pretty late in the day when this had happened, so I was like, it's okay. Today was a good day mostly. Most of the day was good. I'm just going to deal with this in the morning, and for now, I'll read my book and just try to stop thinking about it. I woke up with these same thoughts running through my head because, you know, your energy is where you last left it. But this time, I was able to enact the tools that I know will work in these scenarios to pull me out of it. And so as my day was beginning, I started to reach for a better feeling thought than the one that I had been resting in since the day before. Before even leaving my bed to grab coffee, and within 20 minutes, I felt better. And I felt back on track with what I really wanted again. And I believe it was this easy for me to get back there because I was already so practiced in being there in general before I had fallen into that, like, you know, I don't know, 8 hours of sleep, 4 hours of being at like 12 hours of a stupor, I guess, that I'd been in. I also realized that when I was aligned in thought to what I really desired, this one was the funnest. I realized that when I was aligned in thought to what I really desired and I was feeling resonance with it, I never contemplated doing that terrible thing that I thought I had to do the day before. I was sitting there like, that thought literally never even occurs to me when I'm here, when I feel this way. It never occurred to me or felt inspired to me while vibrating in that place of moving in the direction of what I wanted, which showed me very clearly that taking that action, doing the thing that the day before I thought I had to do, would just be leading me directly away from the thing that I wanted. I had a bad feeling thought. I felt like I had no choice but to choose what I didn't want. And instead of feeling better before doing something, I let myself take action from that energetic place, and that landed me directly in a state of feeling complete defeat. And now, I don't know, part of me is like, if I had stopped at the first call, I think I would have been fine. I would have worked through it, but I honestly think that the momentum was already building in the wrong direction, and I wasn't catching it fast enough, so I kept following the inspiration in that direction. You know how I had said in a previous episode, taking inspired action is like, it's whatever energy you find yourself in. You feel inspired to do something else because of that energy. And that action step is almost inevitably going to create more of what you're already feeling. So I was inspired to keep at it, to keep adding to that feeling, to keep seeking that full relief in a place where it didn't even exist. I was taking action on thoughts and feelings that were defeated and hopeless, and that's exactly where I ended up. That's the law of attraction, folks. I know, it sucks. So, what's my takeaway from this experience? Honestly, I'm really grateful for it because after that day, I came up for air the next and felt like more sure and aligned with what I really wanted, because I will be fucking damned if I end up feeling that way again. No thank you. That was horrible. I do not want to feel that way. And that general good feeling place that I intend to be helped me see that. Back in the day, like, that was my normal state of being. And honestly, as much as I hate to say this, I feel like most people live in that state at all times, feeling like they have to do things that they really, really don't want to do. And most likely talking shit in circles to themselves because the world around them is trying to convince them that what they want isn't what they should want. I think everyone should mind their fucking business and stop acting like their own desires are the only desires or the only way that they can be accomplished. The world is just more expansive than that and more intelligent than that. Sometimes the answer isn't do the thing you don't want to do. Sometimes the answer is do the thing that's as close to what you want as you can get to right now. Most of us never learned how to do what we really want to do, so it's not easy to change our behavior all at once. Sometimes it is truly unattainable. But what is attainable is taking the next easiest step. Not the easiest step that sucks, the easiest step that feels even just a little better than the one that sucks. Just a little better. Building momentum goes both ways. Do you want to build momentum towards that sucks, or this feels a little bit better? That feels like a little bit more relieving. So that's my takeaway from this event. If I don't want to take action in the direction of something that feels like defeat to me, then see if I can find something that feels a little better and do that instead. Do the thing that feels easier in a good way, in a good direction, not in a submitting to what we can't believe we can have way, like not in a submitting way, but in a hopeful way. Like, this is the first step up the mountain. I can do that. I can take one step in that direction, knowing that with every step, it gets easier. The view becomes more beautiful. And with every step, I can see my desire getting closer and closer. I will not give up. I will not give up. I will, however, have what I want. Even if it's not today, maybe it will be today. But even if it's not today, I will still choose something better than defeat. All right. And that's all for today, my friends. If you are interested in working with me, I always keep my email address, and the link to the work with me link is always in the description box. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can find my link there as well. If you want to make a donation to the podcast, you can find my PayPal link in the description box as well. Those are always appreciated. And remember to follow me on whatever podcasting app you're using and leave me a review. Maybe share this with a friend if you think it'll resonate with them. It really does make all the difference in the world. I love each and every one of you. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Until next time, I love you all. And until next time, quiet the mind, listen within, and always follow the joy.